Ernie Myers was in the top 100 charts of 1983. I have no, you're much higher than that in my mind. Does color for women's basketball on the radio, and of course is a national champion. Mr. Myers, how are you today?
Hey, what's up, Adam? How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Have your feet hit the have your feet touched the ground in the last 24 hours?
No. I got off the plane last night with the women's team about 2 in the morning, and we drove to Reynolds, and it was 1,000 fans out there waiting. So, no, you got to pinch me, man. It's still a dream. Watching the women and the men get to the Final Four on the same day, it's just crazy.
let me start with the ladies real quick. They came across some adversity. They lost a few games during the regular season. They probably want back. Didn't go well in the ACC tournament. They get to, how did they flip a switch? Because it's so hard to get it back going once you think you have it and it gets away. How did they flip a switch and get back on it?
Well, I mean, they're a team full of veterans with River Baldwin and Mimi Collins and, you know, Sanaya Rivers. She's been there with, you know, won the whole thing with South Carolina. You got Isaiah James. So they're a veteran ball club. And, you know, Coach Westmore is a coach's coach. Yeah. So he got them ready. He wasn't going to let the disappointment of not winning the ACC championship affect the rest of the season. This was a totally new season coming up, the NCAA tournament. And he got them ready for it, and they were ready to go. You know, I always felt like they were one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah.
And then they proved it.
Oh, there's no question. Isaiah James was, I mean, incredible in the entire region, but it just seemed like she took her game to another level when the tournament started.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she is a baller, plain and simple. You know, not only does she score, she plays defense, and she can pass. She saw the game. She made some nice passes when the defense collapsed on her, the River Baldwin to go to the basket. So she's a team player, but she's a locked-in, knockdown three-point shooter, and she's a big game. I call her Big Game James, you know, because she brings it in the big games, and she was on fire that whole region.
No, she was. She was dynamite, and I think there was a moment in the game yesterday in the fourth quarter as Texas was making a little bit of a late push. And the corner three she hit, I mean, did it end the game? Probably not. There were still free throws and whatnot, and, you know, 3 or 4 minutes is still needed to play. But I thought that game took the air out of the Longhorns.
Oh, without question. I mean, her and Mimi Collins hit two big corner threes in that game. And, you know, she knows how to put the dagger into the game. But I just thought the whole team, Sanaya Rivers, floor general coming in and running the show, and then River Baldwin, they got the ball inside of her, 16 points. It was just a total team effort. And also, who I call Madison Hayes, who I affectionately call the glue, you know, she went to the free throw line, knocked down some big free throws. She's always getting rebounds. She gives the team what she needs. She don't have to score. If they need her to score, she scores. But, you know, I just thought that the whole team just came ready to play.
What is this going to be like in Cleveland in the national semifinal against South Carolina?
Well, I mean, you know, they're the monster. They haven't lost a game, 34 games in a row. And I don't think this team, this veteran ball club, is afraid of anybody. They played against the best teams in the country all year. It's nothing between us and them but air and opportunity, you know. So I know they're going to be ready to play. You saw how they played against Texas and Stanford.
Yeah.
They're going to bring the maximum effort. They have a seasoned coach who is just not happy to be in the Final Four. I know this is his first Final Four appearance.
Yeah.
But I know he's not. He's going to be ready. He has his teams always well prepared, always well scouted. They're going to know everything that South Carolina does and doesn't do well. And he'll capitalize on that. So I'm not looking at South Carolina like, oh, you know,
right?
I've been in that party before. You know, everybody thought Houston was going to stomp us, and they were the big monster. They hadn't lost, you know, they had 27 games in a row. You know, when you get to that Final Four, it's just one game. You know, it's not a series. You know, you don't have to beat them the best out of seven.
that is true. It is the ultimate equalizer. I'm going to get to the men in a second, but I'm just curious. When you found out that the 3-point lines were not uniform in Portland, what were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking, you know, it was an ABC game, and I didn't want them to delay the game and, you know, a nationally televised game to, affect, you know, the game at all. I mean, both teams are going to have to come down and shoot on that line. So it was equal. You know, but I saw them trying to measure the line, and an official from the ACC, I mean, the NCAA came and told them you couldn't do that or whatever. And we just wanted to get the game started. I'm glad both coaches agreed, like, hey, we're going to keep this going. It's been that way the whole tournament.
So right.
Why stop now?
It was the fifth game played on that court, and it took a fan. Yeah. It took a fan to actually bring it to their attention that the thing was different. I can't for the life of me. Was it noticeable to you, especially?
No.
So it probably wasn't that big a deal. But you know, we're talking about fine margins, one way or the other. All right, let me get to the men.
Isaiah James was shooting way beyond.
Right, it didn't bother her anyway.
It didn't bother her any. She wasn't stepping on the line. She was a couple of feet behind the 3-point line when she was launching those threes.
She was probably more worried about the sideline than she was
exactly.
The 3-point line.
The sideline was a foot on the line for a 3-point shot.
All right, let me get your thoughts on is there something that you can relate? Obviously, we know that 83 had to win the ACC tournament to get in, but we know that your team was really good all year. Just injuries and circumstance put them in that position. But is there something else that this team, reminds you of with your 83 team?
The never giving up spirit, you know, and that, you know, reminds me, you know, like you're on a, they're on a mission, you know, and we were on a mission. They have a lot to prove, and people with us, they didn't know what was going to happen. You know, then nobody, we kind of won the hearts of people as we progressed in mm-hmm. the tournament. You know, they have a moniker, why not us? You know, they're totally kind of different. You know, people were surprised back then what we did. You know, we were the first team to win the tournament or get into the Final Four with 10 losses.
Right.
They're the first team to do it with 14 losses.
14 losses.
You know what I mean? So double-figure losses is similar. But they're beating teams. And, you know, our games were – that's why they call us the cardiac pack. Our games were tens. We won by one. We went to double overtimes. And it was just a totally different vibe, you know, with the cardiac pack as opposed to – you know, this NC State team.
All right, but there is a similarity, if I'm not mistaken, between your win over Pepperdine early, I think it might have been your first game of the NCAA tournament, and Michael O'Connell's banked in three to beat, not to beat, but to send Virginia into overtime, the Virginia game into overtime. Wasn't there another kind of, not maybe miracle, but an unlikely banked-in shot that kept the game going?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Thurl Bailey's shot, Cozell McQueen's rebound against Pepperdine to put the game into overtime. We went to double overtime in that game.
Right.
Sidney Lowe fouling out and George McClain coming in the game and, you know, running the point guard and getting the ball to Thurl Bailey on the break. Yeah, I mean, you know, that Michael O'Connor shot was a great big shot. That was in the ACC tournament.
But
Most of our histrionics happened in the NCAA tournament. You know, in the ACC tournament, we went out. We played against Ralph Sampson. There was no last-second buzzer shots or anything like that. Only in the tournament, in the NCAA tournament, that they were you know, those cardiac pack games where people thought we were dead. We came back to life. You know, we gave people heart attacks watching us, listening to us. and that type of thing. This team is kind of, they won five games in a row, and they are, you know, winning in the tournament. They made it to the Final Four. They're beating teams. They beat Duke.
Oh, gosh.
You know, they beat Oakland, you know. You know,
they beat Marquette.
Yeah. They beat Marquette. I mean, and some of the teams that we faced to go in the tournament were, you know, we faced Ralph Sampson. We had to beat Michael Jordan and Sam Perkins and, Olajuwon and, you know, Sidney Green that played for UNLV.
Yeah, great player.
You know, that, you know, there were some, you know, talented All-Americans. And I remember one of the writers said, this team has no All-Americas, but they have the heart of all of America, you know. And that's why people endear themselves to that team, that 83 team. And this team, that why not us, they have captured the hearts of a lot of America.
No question.
It reminds me of.
Yeah, Jay Williams today on ESPN said DJ Burns is America's big man. I'll let you go here, but, I mean, how do you sum up the DJ Burns experience? For all of it, not just the basketball, but the personality, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a great personality and a great player. I mean, he's, everybody loves a fun big guy like Shaq. Everybody likes a big guy that, you know, nobody likes an angry big guy. They like a guy that love, you know, they can joke around with, like big teddy bear.
Right.
You know, you see Shaq, you know, in the NBA, he makes fun of himself. He's a vicarious guy. And DJ Burns reminds me of him. You know, he'll hug anybody. He'll dance with anybody on a video. Yeah. He loves the fans. He plays it up. And people love that about a big guy with a soft heart and is a teddy bear. And, you know, he's just an awesome guy. You know, I had a chance to talk to him before he came to NC State and on a phone call. And, I might have helped him, you know, come here.
Right.
You know, so it's beautiful to watch him and this team. And they're running through him. And, you know, I love to see it. He's just a great guy.
He is, as you are, Ernie Myers. You'll be in Cleveland with the ladies as they pursue a national championship. And then once you guys are done with that, we'll see you in Phoenix as the men pursue theirs.
Absolutely. I mean, we leave tomorrow and, our game is Friday and the men's game is Saturday. And, you know, as the women, we win a national championship. Our game will be on Sunday, I think.
Yep.
And the men's game will be on
Monday.
On Monday. And if we win, I'm flying from Cleveland to Phoenix to watch the men win their national championship.
It's a great time to be a State fan. I appreciate your time, Ernie.
I appreciate you, man. Anytime, man. Thank you so much, Adam. I love your show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Ernie Myers here at Pac Ernie Myers on Twitter.